Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Civics Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well,
whatever that means.
You'll find out.
Told to say that.
David J. Nathan sent this to us. He says, "Dear Click and Clack, I thought you would enjoy knowing that you have promoted wider understanding of the inner workings of American jurisprudence."
Doubt it.
"Being a civically minded family, my wife and I took our four boys to Washington, D.C. during President's Week. Our final stop was the United States Supreme Court, where we took in 2 hours of oral argument before the Honorable Court." I've never been there.
Not even as a plaintiff?
No.
A defendant?
"We prepared well and reviewed in advance both the procedural format and the legal issues to be argued. As we waited quietly for the justices to take the bench, I remembered that from time to time, arguments begin with a member of the court announcing a decision in a case argued earlier in the term. I leaned over and whispered to Benjamin, age 11, that's his son, that we might hear one of the justices go back to a case heard a few months ago and announce the court's final decision."
"Cool."
"Oh," said Benjamin, "just like Stump the Chumps."
Exactly. Anyway, if you want to stump the chumps, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rachel in Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Rachel. Your call is important to us. Where are you from?
Phoenix. Well, now, yeah.
I know where that is, yeah.
Oh, you're from Phoenix now, but you didn't used to be from Phoenix.
I'm from way, way, way back east.
I you know what I catch? Now, you've said nothing, right? And if I guess this, you're going to say the man is a bleeding genius.
Okay.
You know what I catch? Maryland.
Further east.
Further east than Maryland? The Atlantic Ocean.
Further east.
The Azores. Oh, that kind of further east.
I'm from Bath in England.
Bath.
Oh, now, yes.
No, I don't notice it.
You know, we hardly notice it.
How long have you been here?
Only 5 years, but yeah.
Oh, there it is now.
Pretty well.
Five. Word five did it.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. Well, England was a big hint.
England was a big hint, too.
That was a huge help. Yeah. Anyway, what's cooking?
Well, I have a 86 Honda Civic, and about 6 weeks ago, one of the spark plugs blew clear out of the front of the engine.
Oh.
Not good. So when it came out, it threaded the hole, obviously, and it's all smooth in there now. So I guess I have to pull the head and re-bore the hole and put a helicoil in, which I tried to do, and I just cannot get the head out. It's rusted in. The car used to live in Indiana and Michigan, and it's rusted. There's grease. It's 110, and I don't have a garage, and it's really brutal out there. So
you're going to do this yourself?
Wait, are you trying to take the cylinder head off the car?
Yeah. So my question is, can I just take the thing to a welder and have somebody weld a spark plug in the hole? So it's already got like 170. So if
okay.
170K.
Yeah.
First of all, in your effort to get the cylinder head off, you remove the head bolts?
Yes. And I just can't figure out how to do the studs and the down bolts that attach it to the exhaust manifold. I can't get either one out, so I can't bring it forward and I can't bring it up.
But you have loosened. If you took off the valve cover, the very top, and you're looking at all the valves and the camshaft, right?
Yeah.
And you've loosened those bolts that hold the cylinder head to the block.
No, I haven't done those yet.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Oh, you haven't done those yet.
No.
So
I was trying to get the exhaust manifold and the intake manifold loose to start with. I'm just kind of making this up as I go along.
Oh, okay. So you didn't consult a repair manual.
Well, I have been, but.
We take these heads off, we take them off with the manifolds.
Okay.
We leave the manifolds attached, we take the whole cylinder head right off.
Okay.
But you don't have to do that.
Okay.
I think, and you don't have to have someone weld anything in there. You can have somebody put in the helicoil for you.
Well, she wants to do it herself. But you can do it without taking the head out of the engine.
Did you get loads of, shavings down inside the cylinder that'll score it all?
The picky picky!
You worried about that? When we cut threads in cylinder heads is we coat the tap with the lithium grease.
Okay.
And it picks up the vast majority of the shavings.
Yeah, you'll get a little in there, but it isn't deadly.
And then we do
it's
go
got
ahead.
170,000 miles on it.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, see, my other option is I could just donate it to the dog shelter and get a new car.
Not for this reason. I mean, this is easy.
Okay.
You know what the beauty of this car is? That if you don't succeed, you give it to the dog shelter.
That's right. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, this is a no. This is like working on my brother's car.
Yeah.
Whenever we worked on his car,
it's
it was
low
like,
stress.
How could anything go wrong that you could care about?
That's very true. Well, you know, I did try to get some of that thermos steel stuff that you goop on and it's supposed to weld as it gets.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, no.
It lasted for 5 miles and it blew out again.
No, you need to actually cut mechanical threads in there.
Okay.
And actually, the one we've had the most luck with is this, and I'm not even sure if they still make it, but we have plenty of them on hand. I think KD is the company.
Okay.
Or KND, I don't know. And they make an insert, and they make a special tap that you may not even have to drill a hole for in your case.
Okay.
And you run this tap into the area where the damaged threads were or no longer are, and you tap new threads for this insert, which screws into that hole that you just tapped, and the spark plug screws into it.
Okay.
And then when you go and take the spark plug out, the insert, which you've glued in there with an adhesive, stays behind, and the glue is not holding it. The glue is merely keeping it from unscrewing.
Okay.
It's making a mechanical connection because it's got threads on it, and those work fabulously. We've had those last hundreds of miles. No,
okay.
I'm just kidding. I mean, forever, years and years. But that's what you need, and everything will be fine.
Wonderful, thank you.
And if it isn't fine, so what?
Yeah, you're right.
The dog shelter awaits.
Okay.
Don't do this in your driveway. Do it in a place where you can abandon the car.
Yeah, you're right.
So you can just pack your stuff up, and there you go.
Right, have the plates loose. See you, Rachel.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tom calling from Portland, Oregon.
What's up?
I have a 1991 Chevy Blazer that I inherited from my mom. It's got 60,000 miles on it, and it's had a lifetime of woe. The latest thing is that I had the thermostat replaced because the temperature gauge wasn't working and the car was idling really high all the time. And now, every time I start it in the morning, the first time, it sits there for maybe a minute and sort of belches out big clouds of smoke. Not black smoke and not white smoke, but sort of somewhere in the middle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I didn't notice it. My wife noticed it. I was leaving for work one day and she was standing on the porch waving goodbye and she was like, oh, my God, what's wrong with the car? And I looked behind me, and there was this cloud of smoke hanging right back there.
But the original symptoms went away when they replaced the thermostat?
Yeah.
And so the temperature gauge is now rising up to where it should be, somewhere in the middle or wherever.
Right.
Okay.
And all they changed was the thermostat? They didn't change something called the coolant temperature sensor?
They didn't tell me that,
How much did they charge you?
Okay, it was about $100, right around there.
Well, they could have changed. The coolant temp sensor is pretty cheap for these Blazers.
There was something else too. Oh, they did. Is that right? It was $100? Yeah, like $130, and they did the rear brakes as well.
No!
Then all they did was the thermostat.
They did the thermostat and the rear brakes, and you got a deal. The smoke that's coming out the back, I suspect, was there beforehand. Now you say that your wife pointed it out to you, so you didn't notice that it was or wasn't there beforehand.
Yeah, I'm a little clueless.
And had this been the first day that she waved you goodbye from the door?
Perhaps, yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, it seems unlikely that what they did could have caused this intermediate color smoke to start coming out.
Okay.
And does it go away? Or you wouldn't know because it's behind you.
Well, here's what I'm going to say.
It goes away. You know, I can get out of the car a few minutes later and walk back there and look, and there's nothing there.
Wait. Wait till I go and release my brother from the super wedgie that someone gave him. I'll be right back.
All those weeks that you were driving around with a faulty thermostat, the engine was running too rich.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it was running too rich, a lot of the gasoline that didn't get burned was getting into the crankcase. You were getting washed down. So what you have now in the crankcase, you may have 5 quarts of something, but it isn't 5 quarts of just oil. It's a mixture of oil and gasoline, And that mixture is getting pumped up past the rings when you first started, and that's making the smoke. I'm going to suggest you go to Quickie Lube or wherever and get yourself an oil change.
And the smoke will go away.
Is that the regular oil or the...
The motor oil, yeah. Get the oil changed.
Okay,
the gasoline, the excess gasoline that was being squirted in there by the injectors all the time, because don't forget, the computer thought that the engine was still warming up all the time. That's why it was racing. It was putting a gas, the amount of gas it would need for a cool engine, because the engine was never warmed up.
Right, according to the computer.
And that gasoline that wasn't getting burned was either winding up coming out the tailpipe, or it was getting past the rings and getting into the motor oil. And now your oil is all diluted with gas. You need to get that changed, and that is going to fix the smoke, Tom.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks a lot.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is Bo Stapleton from Nashville, Tennessee.
Bo?
Bo, like in Bo Brummel?
Bo, exactly like Bo Brummel. Exactly.
Cool. In Nashville?
In Nashville, Tennessee.
All right. You a musician?
I am a musician, actually, and my call kind of concerns that a little bit.
Oh, really? Are you a bluegrass musician?
I play the mandolin, but the band that I'm playing in is a little bit more of a rock band.
Oh, so you play like four notes a night, right?
I play lead lines and chops and solos and stuff like that. It's the bass players. They're the ones that don't play very many notes.
That's why we had my brother play the bass in our band. We had the dumbest guy play the fewest notes and carry the biggest instrument. Anyway.
We got the smallest cock.
Anyway, what can we do for you, Bo?
Well, the band's in a little bit of a problem here. We got a 2001 Dodge Ram 15-passenger van that we use to tour around the country in.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And our engine is wounded. We are burning about a quart of oil with every tank of gas.
Oh. You got like 180,000 miles on this thing?
Well, we got 100. I should back up a second. We had this unfortunate situation where we drove from Nashville, Tennessee to Birmingham, Alabama with very little oil in the engine.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're not doing too good with the...
How very little is very little?
Well, when we finally stopped because of the knocking, it took 5 quarts.
Oh! Yeah, I think it only holds 6.
Yeah, well, you know what we did? We'd taken it into the shop, and the guy in the shop, we said, hey, something's going wrong with our oil pressure gauge, and he misdiagnosed it, and he said, oh, disregard it. It's a problem in your dashboard. You're fine. Just go for it.
Oh, man. Okay.
No. Well, that engine is lunched.
Well, what I need is this. Okay, so we've got, I mean, it's running good now, although it's burning oil, but now we start today a month-long tour where we go pretty much halfway across the country. So we need to figure out a way. We don't have the time right now to get a new engine in this thing. We need to figure out how to make this engine last for the next month.
Jeez. All right.
All the instruments are carried inside the van?
Yes. Well, no, actually, we have a trailer. We got a 15-foot trailer on it, so we're pulling a lot of weight, too.
Ah, and how much room is in the trailer?
What do you think, they're going to live in the trailer? Or carry an engine in the trailer?
Well, in the trailer or in the van or on the roof of one or the other, you're going to have to carry 30 or 40 gallons of of oil.
Well, you can stop along. Every place that sells you gasoline will sell you oil. And you can, because you don't care about the long-term consequences, you can put thick oil in.
Thick oil. So is that going down in weight, like down to 30?
No, high numbers.
Higher numbers.
Like you want 50 weight.
Yeah, 20W50 is probably what 20, you want.
20W50.
Yeah.
20W50. And then you can avail yourself of one of the many fine additives that are on the market, like STP or Lucas Oil Treatment.
Okay.
Or various other, what would you call them, overly viscous lubricants.
Right.
That will take the place of the bearings that are worn out, that will fill that space between the crankshaft and the connecting rod and the main bearing journals.
Yeah.
And as such, act as a cushion so those parts don't beat each other to death any more than they have.
And don't drive too fast.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the killer.
Because not only are you carrying a lot of weight, but if you start going 70 miles an hour, you won't make it 20 miles.
Really?
What, 70? They drive at 90 usually. Yeah.
No, you got to keep it around 55.
Okay. And but you think we can get some miles out of it if we up the oil weight? Like I said, it's running good. It's just going through the oil.
Yeah.
Did anyone try to determine what the source of the leak was? I mean, it may be something as trivial as a leaky oil drain plug.
No, you know what? There's nothing. It's not leaking oil. It's just burning right through it.
Burning it. I mean, the blue smoke must be brutal then.
You know, it's not. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Other than denial, no. Especially right when you start up, when the engine's cold, it just.
Yeah, is the front of the trailer, is it all covered with like oily residue? Pretty much, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. Sometimes when we idle it and let it park, if we're parked next to a bush or something, it covers the bush. And
Yeah. Okay, so we got it. So you
don't leave it idling as too much.
Okay.
But really, maintaining a reasonable speed will probably help you more than anything else, including the additives, because if you drive it at 80 as opposed to 60, the wind resistance alone is making the thing work so much harder. The engine, that is, works so much harder that it's going to run hotter.
Okay.
And when it runs hotter, it thins the oil out more, and the oil can lubricate less effectively.
Gotcha.
And it'll cause even faster wear on these parts that are already worn down to the bitter end.
Gotcha.
So if all you want to do is make it halfway across the country, you'll make it.
Okay.
I doubt it, but you'll have lots of you know what? Make sure you bring a camera, because you'll have a lot of pictures to take.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck, Bo.
All right, you guys fighting with each other.
Keep picking, man.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And good luck. Keep us posted.
We will.
Bye-bye. Hey, look, I know this is going to be tough for you, but I have to ask, do you remember last week's Puzzler?
Oh, are we back in the Puzzler season already? Did I miss Labor Day? Do I have to take off these white pants?
No, don't do that. Please. The Puzzler was, in fact, seasonal in nature. It was about the temperature, and we'll be back with the whole story and more of your calls in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
I told him your car's creepy, man, and not in a gangster kind of way, but in a perv kind of way. You got a lot of nerve driving that kind of car and taking me fishing out to the park. You're like some dude on blow in that movie Boogie Nights. And this Friday night, you want to go to the fights in your
And even though Steve Inskeep walks down to the garage and lets the air out of our tires whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's Puzzler. And this one was from my very popular Fahrenheit Celsius series.
Yeah.
And it was sent in by a fellow named Mike Mercer, who sent it in pre-obfuscated.
I mean, really?
I didn't have to, well,
nice.
No obfuscation necessary. Well, good job, Mike.
People anyway, are learning, you know?
Here it is. Charlie is heading off to work one fall morning, and on his way, he passes a billboard that displays the current temperature. In one corner of the billboard, it's displayed in Fahrenheit, and in the other corner, the temperature is in Celsius. Anyway, he makes a note of both readings and says to himself, it's a pretty nice day for late fall.
Mm.
But as the day progresses, a monstrous cold front hits town, and on his way home, Charlie passes the billboard again. He notices that the Fahrenheit temperature is now 36 degrees colder than it was that morning. 36 degrees colder. But he looks at the Celsius reading, and it's exactly the same. So this is a two-part question. The easy part is, A, what was wrong with the Celsius sign that caused it to read exactly the same temperature, even though the temperature had dropped 36 degrees Fahrenheit? That's pretty obvious, right?
Yeah, I knew that.
How cold was it on the way home? So
okay,
there's a 36 degree.
Easy part is the Celsius side of it lost the minus sign.
Exactly. So if it was 12 degrees Celsius in the morning, it was minus 12 at night. And very simple.
And would that be 36 degrees Fahrenheit? No. It would be 5/9 of 36. That would be 20.
Well, to convert Fahrenheit to centigrade, the equation is F equals 9/5 C plus 32.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
And then if you use the equation F minus 36 equals 9/5 times now minus C plus 32, those 9/5 C cancel out. It comes out to be 2F equals 100 and F equals 50. So 50 Fahrenheit is 10 degrees centigrade. and 36 less than that is 14, which is minus 10 degrees centigrade. Pretty cute, huh?
Pretty cute. I don't think everyone got it.
Who's our winner? I think the winner got it.
The winner got it. The winner is Jim Stegman from Grand Haven, Michigan, and for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got. Jim is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get a four-pack of our new CarTalk reusable shopping bags.
Yeah. These are the bags that you can take with you to the supermarket and reuse, so you don't add more paper or plastic to the landfills.
And don't worry about being embarrassed because your shopping bags say CarTalk on them.
No. There's a big disclaimer that says, my other reusable shopping bags are from good NPR shows.
Yeah, you can see pictures of them at the website.
Now, if you didn't win this week, stay tuned because there's a new puzzler coming up. In the meantime, you can call us with your car questions. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I'm Christy from Rochester, New York.
Hi, Christy.
I.E.?
If I tell you I'm from California, will that help you guess better that I was...
K-R-Y-S-T-I.
T-E-E?
My family's Norwegian. Does that help you anymore?
K-R.
Uh-huh, that's good.
Norwegian.
I-S-T-I-E.
S-T-I. I just took the N off Kristen.
Ah.
See, I decided as a teenager to be more economical in my spelling, and I just lopped the N off.
Yeah, but you changed your whole name.
Yeah.
From Kristen to Christy. Oh.
Well, that's what I go by. My official name is still Kristen, but nobody calls me that unless they're very, very angry with me.
It's funny. I have had in my life several wives, as you may know. And the only commonality between them.
Thomas.
They're completely different people except for the use of Thomas.
Yes.
When either of them said or says Thomas, I'm in deep doo-doo.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'll tell you, that's where one of our cars is right now. It's not just broken, it's in, like, deep doo-doo.
Oh.
My husband's in the full-time ministry, so people keep giving us cars, used cars, that they're done with. Now, normally it's a commuter car, so these are, like, really done with cars.
Yeah.
So this one is an 84 Nissan Maxima.
Oh.
So it started losing power, so that when you were driving, it felt like Fred Flintstone or something. You weren't going anywhere. You'd push on the gas, and if you ever slowed down, it would never accelerate. So we had a very fun time coming back from a romantic weekend away with this car. We couldn't stop for the bathroom. We couldn't stop for food, because if you slow down, it just died. So we had that repaired. Now, I've got all my husband's repair. This is my husband's car.
Yeah.
So it had spark plugs then. Then it had a thermostat. Then it was running too rich.
Uh-huh.
Then it wouldn't start. So we thought it was the battery. The guy from the gas station came and towed it. He's the nicest person. Now, we used to have a mechanic who wasn't so social and nice, but he really knew cars. Now we have this new guy who's very, very nice, and he just redecorated the station. Uh-huh. But I don't think he knows a lot about cars. I hope he's not listening to your show.
He's into marketing. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
He's just a really sweet guy.
Yeah, decorating.
I complimented him on the station, how much nicer it looked. He got rid of that dumpy old couch covered with grease stains. And and then he told me he'd given it to his mother. But anyway, he's the nicest person, so he tows the car off, says, I'll get right on it, new battery, everything's okay.
Yeah.
Well, we get the car back about 6 weeks later, $600 poorer, and the thing is still not working.
I gotcha.
So my husband came home and said, I'm sorry I spent $600, the car is still broken, I'm like going ballistic. Call that mechanic, tell him, da-da-da-da. So my husband says, I called him and we had a really nice chat, and he worked really hard, and it's so important, to have a good relationship with him, and we both feel really good about it.
I can just see this conversation happening.
I can picture Dan Aykroyd.
I mean, here's a minister talking to a mechanic / interior decorator.
Yes.
If ever there was a touchy-feely, loving... It must have been a sweet, wonderful encounter.
It must have been a deeply moving conversation.
I had a touchy-feely experience with one of my customers.
Yeah, but that involved a stick.
He jumped over the counter and was trying to touch my tonsils.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hon, I'm not deeply moved, and I don't feel good about this. This is a lot of money, and the car is still sitting here. Do you know what's wrong with this?
We know exactly what's wrong with this car.
Yeah, of course we do.
Of course we do.
Oh,
Christy,
so
come on.
Okay, go ahead.
We have no idea.
Well, I'll tell you.
I have several ideas.
I have ideas, and one of them has to do with the most recent trip that you took where you couldn't shut the thing off and it had low power all that stuff. This is what happened to my Dodge Colt Vista before I took ownership of it.
Ah.
The previous owner was driving it. The thing
exactly
began
right.
to lose power.
Uh-huh.
Instead of recognizing that it was losing power and she wasn't getting anywhere fast, she has the gas pedal floored, and the thing goes from 50 to 40 to 30.
Yes.
And
yes.
she finally doesn't make it to her destination, and the car shuts off, and she tows it to us, and we try to fix it, and we can't. We realize that the valves are burned out, and the head gasket is blown.
Oh.
We put a new head gasket on, and alas, it doesn't start. And we finally realize that what's wrong with it is what's wrong with your car,
okay.
what was wrong with it. In that your catalytic converter is plugged up.
Catalytic converter.
What they need to do is to remove the exhaust system.
Okay.
And in doing so, they will allow the exhaust products to escape, and the engine will start right up and run.
Really?
In order for the thing to start, you got to have the spark, you got to have the gasoline, but you also got to have air. And if the back end of it is plugged up, air won't go through the engine because it can't get out, so it doesn't go in.
Okay. So how much more is this going to cost?
No, this is a no-cost test. This guy, out of the goodness of his heart, is going to remove the converter and run the engine. And when he figures out that that's what fixed it, he will buy you a converter for free.
He ought to, for heaven's sakes. We're like their bread and butter over there.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, guys. I'll give this a try.
Good luck.
Good luck, Kristen.
I'm feeling good about this now, too.
I am, too.
Me
feel
too.
Much better.
Bye-bye, guys.
See you later.
So long.
See, you know, it's nice to have that kind of an ad. I mean,
wasn't she nice?
Yeah, well, I'm sure her husband is just as nice, if not nicer. I mean,
in a normal relationship, they would be fighting like hell. I mean, here's a guy trying to make a car work. It doesn't work. The guy who fixes it charges him $600 for doing basically everything wrong. And instead of yelling at the guy,
He forgives him,
my son. And goes over and says, we had a very nice talk. And his poor wife, Kristen, you'd think she'd be hitting him over the head with a rolling pin. Instead, she's laughing with us.
She can take a joke.
That's really sweet.
It is.
It's really wonderful.
I need about 500 customers like that.
Shocking. It's absolutely shocking.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Joe from Kingston.
Hey, Joe. Kingston.
Joe.
Kingston, like we know Kingston. Kingston, Rhode Island.
Pennsylvania.
Of course.
Pennsylvania. Are you a Quaker or an Amish?
No. I don't see them driving cars too much.
You don't listen to the radio either.
I just realized, now we have, over the years, we have managed to alienate just about every possible listening group in the entire country and some overseas.
Oh, most overseas.
But if we started talking bad about the Amish.
How would they know?
How would they know?
Right. I understand they're ready to give up.
I understand they are. Anyway, Joe.
Okay.
What's up?
Well, I need your assistance.
Okay.
My brother-in-law, 4 months ago.
Four months ago, brother-in-law.
Yeah, he parked his 83 Honda Civic in my backyard.
Uh-oh. I can see it
and
coming.
And it's still there.
It's still there.
Okay.
It's a good thing it wasn't my brother's backyard, because you know where it would be now.
It would be in the crusher.
It would be better in his backyard than mine.
He's what?
It would be better in his yard than mine. Well,
why pray tell, is it in your yard and not his?
Well, he had it. He lives in Maryland. And he got a notice on his car. It was going to be towed as an abandoned vehicle.
Right.
So one Friday evening, Saturday morning, actually 4 o'clock in the morning, he drove it back home.
Uh-huh.
But
you knew
in front of his mother's house, and she said, "Get it out of here," because he's already got a TVR and a Honda motorcycle sitting in the yard.
So I mean, he knew when he drove it to your house that he was planning to leave it there.
But he comes and visits it regularly.
Visits
it?
But did you know that he was coming?
Yeah.
And why didn't you move?
It's his house.
Oh, it's his house. Oh, I see. He owns the house that you live in.
Yeah, but I have this car sitting in the backyard.
Tough.
And I figured, well, You know, I listen to you guys. You guys come up with so many creative ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, I'm glad you called, Joe. Do you pay him rent to live in this house?
Yes.
A fair market rent or below market?
Fair.
Fair?
Fair.
Fair. So you don't have to live in this house. You could live in any comparable house for the same amount of money.
Well, yeah, but then it would, if you're suggesting moving, then I'd have to move stuff, and I don't want to move stuff.
Well, you wouldn't have to move the car.
Well, it's easier to move the car.
Well, first of all, this isn't your problem.
Well, wait a minute. It might be his problem.
No, it isn't.
It depends on whether or not this brother-in-law is his brother's wife or his wife's brother.
Yeah, who is he?
My wife's brother.
It's her
your problem.
No, it's her problem. It's your wife's problem.
Yeah, well, you know who gets the detail of fixing the problem.
Oh, so she wants it out of there.
Well, she said she doesn't care, but when we have to cut, when I cut the grass, you have to move the car to get the weeds that grow up around it and, you know, through the floorboards and stuff.
Well, I think your brother-in-law needs behavior modification therapy. I mean, you can't just go sprinkling junk boxes around like my brother does. Here, hold on to my car for like a decade or two.
Well, that was my next option, is drive it up to your garage.
No.
Give you the title.
I mean, he obviously has another vehicle that he's driving.
Yes.
He thinks at some point, maybe 5 or 10 years from now,
he might need this car.
He might need this one.
He is emotionally attached to this car. It's got 225,000 miles on it. Now, the engine does run very well, but body-wise, there's...
Yeah, I mean, how well could it run with 200? I mean, how much longer could it have left?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't
almost
matter.
It could sit there forever.
He
can't
help mess with a person's
he needs
feelings.
Help letting go. Here's what you do. He just needs, he doesn't need the whole car. He needs a memento. Break off the rearview mirror.
And mail it to him.
And if that, and you're going to help with the separation process. I think every week you should break off a piece of the car.
Mail it to him. Say, please kiss this goodbye.
And eventually, the whole car will be where? Back at his house.
So just give him a part and get rid of the car.
A part a week.
Yeah, but I think he needs help. He has separation anxiety.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know how to let go.
This is definitely one of those things that
separates
people. Well,
he has LJS, I think. Latent junk man syndrome. Because I think people that do this want really to be junk men.
It might be.
I think so. My brother would be a junk man if he... If my brother hadn't been exposed to the education and breeding that he had, today he would be a junk man.
Yeah.
I'm not that there's anything wrong with it, and I mean it in the best possible way.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's true, because there are various kinds of people who collect stuff. And
most of them are junk men.
No, but I don't collect stuff. It's stuff that has become a part of my life, and the separation is the problem.
It just so
junk
happens.
Junk men go out and find other people's memories.
No, that's the next. That's phase two. Phase one is not being able to get rid of stuff. Phase two is going out and actually seeking out other people's what?
Junk.
Everything you have is what?
Junk.
Well, if I sprinkled it with rock, salt, and lime, would it rust into the ground any quicker?
You could do that. You could do that.
Don't mess with it, Joe.
No,
don't
I'll tell
mess
you,
with it.
There are consequences far beyond our ability to comprehend them.
That's right.
Because this could affect international relations.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could have a latent Ted Kaczynski on your hands there.
Yeah, you don't know what. I mean, it could
affect
the whole
get
relationship
those people angry.
With your mother-in-law and your brother-in-law, and eventually your wife and your own kids could grow up to hate you. So I would just wait till the car rusts away if that's what it has to be done. But put your foot down. No more than 3 cars. See you later, Joe.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Tommy, it's time for us to take a break.
Oh, already? How do you know?
Well, the president of the network just barged into the studio and yelled, "Give me a break!"
We'll be back with a brand new Puzzler in just a minute.
Last night I got arrested for disturbing the peace. Policeman said I sounded like World War III. But that wasn't no Duke you heard down there on 7th Street. It was my two-tone 69 spacious VA luxury machine. Quintessential macho of my dream, the kind they haul around candidates and queens. But who'd ever thought old Ruby behind our wheel? I ain't got no money to get my next meal.
Well, I heard it says somewhere that Russ Hamill sleeps. The guy who said
And even though Mr. Potato Head wishes some kind child would pull his ears off whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah, make it good, man.
Well, if it can't be good, at least make it brief. That's what Dougie's always said. All right, I don't have a series. Maybe this is from the clock series, but I don't know. Do I have a clock series?
It could be the beginning of a series.
It could indeed be. Okay, here's what you do.
Do I need a pencil?
You don't need a pencil, but it might help you.
Okay, I'm going to take one out anyway.
Okay. Draw a clock face on your paper.
I got it.
And put the using Arabic numerals, put the appropriate numbers.
12.
12, 1, 2, 3, da, 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 da. Okay?
I got it. All right.
Okay.
I didn't put them all in. Is that all right?
Well,
I put 12, 3, 6, and 9.
No, I think you need to put them all in.
All right. I got 1, 2, 3. Okay, go ahead.
Now, I want you to draw somewheres on this clock face two lines.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, you're going to divide the clock face into segments, which contain numbers. The trick here, or the question is, where...
So the lines have to go from one edge of the clock face to another.
Right.
I got my two lines.
Okay. And so when you draw the lines, you will wind up with either three or four segments of clock face.
Yes.
If the lines intersect someplace, you will wind up with four sections. If they don't intersect, you'll wind up with three sections. And the puzzle is this. Draw these lines so that the sum of the numbers in each section are equal.
Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa.
You with me?
I can see that I didn't do it here.
No, drawing the, you know.
Because I got
four pieces of pie? No.
I got four pieces of pie, and they add up to 6 over here and 23 over there. So that's not right.
You're on the right track. Keep moving them around.
I got you.
Okay. Now,
wow.
I think there is only one solution to this.
No kidding. That looks hard.
It may be.
Oh, you don't know the answer.
Not yet. But I have a whole week.
Excellent question.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard. Or better still, float it in a fully assembled 8x15 endless lap pool with adjustable current, ambient temperature control, ionizing water filter, and optional hot tub jets. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. Now, right now, if you happen to have a question about your car.
Or your clock, or anything else.
If you need your clock clean. We're here to help, believe it or not. The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-827-8255. Hike. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Colleen from Ellsworth, Wisconsin.
What part of Wisconsin is that? The cold part?
Yeah, it's actually right by the border, you know, about 15 miles from Minnesota.
Oh, which border?
Minnesota.
Minnesota border.
Oh, the Minnesota border.
Yeah, how far from the Canadian border?
Oh, that's a 5-hour drive.
Oh, is it? It's a 5-hour drive from here.
Yeah, so
there we
go.
You must be as far north as you.
Yeah.
Unless the whole thing is tilted.
I think it is tilted, yeah. Anyway, what's shaking, Colleen?
Well, I have a Chevy Lumina 1992 van. And it has 216,000 miles on it. I'm going for 3, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. And I listened to you guys because I know nothing about cars. So you said, you know, one of the things you should do when you have an older car and you want it to live forever is change the transmission fluid. So I called up my mechanics, who I love, and I said, what do you think? I don't remember seeing this on the bill forever, you know, transmission fluid. So they went in and they changed the transmission fluid. So I went driving off afterwards, and I went, wow, this car has so much more power. It's just wonderful. Well, my son gets in the car with me, and he goes, this is not shifting into overdrive.
Oh.
And so I took it back, and sure enough, it wasn't. And it was working perfectly before, no mm-hmm. weird feelings at all. So the guy said, well, maybe what happened was when it hasn't been changed for a long time and you messed with it, that some little springs or something could have popped or some pressure. I don't know what I'm talking about here, but you guys do.
Neither does he.
Yeah, right. Well, they're saying it never happened before when you change it. And then I took it to a transmission guy, and he said, it's just coincidence.
Well, there's some theory that says if it's got a ton of miles on it like this, you should leave well enough alone.
Oh.
I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either. I mean, it makes no sense. I don't know the real answer. My brother will make one up, however. I'm sure he will.
Well, here's what I think could have gone wrong. I mean, it seems the thing was working perfectly okay before you took it in.
Yes, it was.
And then it was working perfectly unokay when you left.
Yes, but it feels great.
Because it's not shifting into high gear. You step in the gas and the thing flies.
Yeah, it does. It's great.
But you're going to burn up the engine. You're going to burn up the transmission and a lot of gasoline.
Uh-huh.
If you don't fix this. And not to mention the fact that you'll never get to 300K.
No, you won't.
I think what happened, and I think it merits dropping the pan, because this is what he did to change the filter in the fluid. He dropped the transmission oil pan. You got to
dropped
that.
Meaning took it off.
Yeah, there's like 15 little bolts that hold it on. Yeah, I think you need to go to a transmission shop and
1400.
have them take all those bolts off and look. Either he put the wrong filter in there.
Okay.
Or he crimped a wire in there, or did something that's preventing this thing from shifting into high gear.
Okay.
And I think I would go right back to what he did, because chances are he did something wrong. I would take it to a bona fide transmission shop and have them take the pan down and see if he did something wrong.
Okay. My question is this.
Okay.
Since you did this on our recommendation.
Yes, I did.
Can you sue us for the price of the transmission? In which case, we're going to hang up on you right now.
Yeah, and also, before we hang up, say, get in line.
Get in line, right?
I think what he did can be undone.
Oh, great.
Ooh, that would be really good.
That would be fabulous.
Yeah.
The wrong filter would be a wonderful solution to it. And it makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Good luck, Colleen.
And my brother doesn't always make sense. So consider yourself lucky.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hi. It's Matt. I'm from Los Angeles.
Hi, Matt.
How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Here's my story.
Yeah.
One evening, I live here in L.A., as I said, and I was driving home on the freeway one evening late at night, and I drive a Volvo 850 Turbo. I'm driving along, and it's 10:30 in the evening, but it's still pretty crowded in Los Angeles at 10:30 in the evening on the freeways. And all of a sudden, shrapnel or something just starts flying all around the car. And
that's L.A. for you.
Was I driving in front of you?
It's like a war zone, and we're all these cars in the freeway are trying to avoid this stuff, and it's just blowing all over the freeway. And I hit kind of glancing blow on the right side of what looked like some sort of car part laying on the freeway, and immediately had a flat what appeared to be a flat tire, pulled over onto the side of the freeway, get out of my car, and I look up and down the freeway. There must have been, and it turned out the police told me, about 45 cars pulled over by all this debris. What had happened was a big flatbed truck loaded up with crushed cars was loaded up a little too high, and when it went under the underpass,
off the top car.
One of the cars got sheared off. It just completely disintegrated on the freeway.
Oh, great.
The amazing thing is that no one was hurt. No one collided with anybody else. Just everybody had a lot of damage from running into these, car parts. What was amazing, what was incredible, was that I got my police report in, got my car loaded up onto a flatbed, and it's 11:30, and I'm heading home.
Cool.
I'm thinking I'm one of the luckiest guys in the world, right?
Yeah.
And it looked like the only thing that really happened to my car was that I had these two flat tires, plus my rims had been pretty badly, damaged and broke from the...
There's more to the story, however.
There is more to the story. This isn't it. So I'm talking to the guy. We're going home. We're having a very nice conversation. I really think this is one of the nicest tow truck drivers I've ever met. And we get near my house. We turn a corner, and I'm just talking, have a nice conversation. The truck kind of bounces as we go around the corner. I turn around, look behind, look at my car to see if it's okay, and it's not there.
F-O-T! F-O-T!
And you never noticed?
So I tell the guy, finally, I think you dropped my car somewhere back behind us here. And, I've never seen a guy turn so white in my entire life. I mean, he's turning it around.
How far did you have to go before you found it?
A quarter mile. He dropped it in the intersection where I felt that bouncing. That was obviously from the car taken.
And it actually fell off the truck?
Yeah, it did a belly flop right in the center of a major intersection in Manhattan Beach, which is where I live. and we went back there, and sure enough, it was sitting there. It literally had landed right on its belly. It didn't flip over. It didn't appear to do anything other than that. It just came right off the truck.
Oh,
so aside from the fact that would be a great law school question for who's really which insurance company is responsible for all the damage, my question is, and what I'm trying to deal with, I'm an insurance company hill right now. I'm trying to get the insurance company to total this thing because from my way of thinking, you know, when a car takes a 5-foot drop off a flatbed, I mean, how can the car ever be expected to drive properly? So that's my question.
A moving flatbed, no less. Yeah. Well,
what should I be doing? What should I be doing to try to see if I can get it totaled? Is that a justifiable argument to make to the insurance company? And
I think I can speak from personal experience.
You've dropped a lot of them.
But I have dropped a car from 5 feet.
Yeah, 5 feet is a lot.
5 feet totals them. At least from my experience.
No, but you dropped it on its head. This thing landed on its feet.
Well, that was the first one landed on its side. Subsequent ones have landed belly down. So
belly down.
Yeah, no. Your 5 feet's bad.
I think so.
I mean, you're going to have to get it to a frame shop.
Right.
Because what will determine whether or not it's been totaled is whether or not the frame is bent beyond the point where it can be straightened.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're really not set up to straighten frames that have been bent from the bottom like this, they may have a difficult time getting the thing to the point where it's alignable.
Right.
Frames usually bend left to right, or right to left, but not down to up.
Right.
Yeah, you need to take this thing to the Volvo dealer and get a letter from them that says, Matt's car is done for.
Right.
Send him a check.
Now, is a Volvo a typical dealership, do they have a frame shop?
They'll send it out. What they will do is they will have their guys look at it first.
Right.
And then if they have any doubts, they'll send it out. And they'll be the most credible, too.
Right.
But if you take it to Joe Blow's frame shop, they may not believe him. They may believe you paid him off.
Right.
Now, you can try paying off the guys at the Volvo dealership. I mean, that's been known to work. You know. But in lieu of that, I mean, telling them that when you get the check from this one, you'll be ready to buy another Volvo because you loved it.
Right.
They will love that news.
Which actually, I do love the Volvo. It's been a great car. So.
It is a great car.
Yeah.
And even if you had been in it, you probably wouldn't have been hurt.
Yeah.
Not if it had the 2x4s in it.
Jeez, what a tale to tell your grandkids.
Boy, that's good. You look out the window and the car is
The first thought I actually had was that maybe I blacked out and that maybe we actually dropped the car off somewhere.
Yeah.
You had fallen asleep and you were home in your driveway and
that's right.
He was waking you up saying, Matt, we're here.
That's right. There had to be some logical explanation other than the fact that the car actually fell off somewhere.
Yeah, because that was just so improbable. That falling.
And about the insurance. I mean, obviously the tow truck driver's insurance is covering this, right?
I will tell you this. What's amazing is I won't mention the name of the insurance company. What's amazing to me is that
they're almost all a bunch of no good, unscrupulous sleazeballs.
In my opinion.
what they're trying to do? They're trying to pin most of this damage
on the truck.
On the truck that blew that lost the car on the freeway.
Aww.
Right. And if that had...
That's bull.
And if they can sue Coronado, because if he hadn't come from Spain to explore that whole area and stake that out for the Spaniards, California wouldn't be called California, and you wouldn't live there.
That's right.
I mean, how far back can you go? No, it's the fault of the guy that hooked up the truck incorrectly.
Of course.
It's clearly his fault.
What did I just say? In my opinion, in a bunch of no good, unscrupulous sleazeballs.
Well, my feeling about this is you sue everybody.
That's it. You know what to do? Tell them either they give you a check tomorrow or you're going to start having personal injuries. You're going to start getting nervous about the nightmares that you've been having. I've been having nightmares about the car falling off, and I'm in it.
It's intentional.
Right. Ever since this has happened, you're ready for this? I've had the nightmare, recurring nightmare, that I'm driving my car off a cliff. I can't sleep anymore.
I can't even drive anymore.
Yeah, I can't go to work anymore.
I'm incapable.
Oh, Matt, you're in Fat City, man. You are in Fat City.
This is it.
I told you guys were great.
And that will work. I'm telling you, you'll never have to work another day in your life.
Oh, yeah. Not
this
only
is the
I,
best thing that ever happened
a new car,
to you.
I can retire.
Yeah. You'll be driving a Lincoln, man. See you later.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, man.
Never, there's a silver cloud.
There's a silver
cloud. Silver cloud to every lining.
While you've wasted an otherwise perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk, our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher. There we go. Fenelosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mayor. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Michaela Ross. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his restorative week at the Ukiah Yoga Yoo-Hoo and Yodel Festival, is John Bugsy Law.
Where is Bugsy?
He promised he'd be here today.
He
we need his
that.
Help.
We do.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of roadway resurfacing is Sylvia Potoli. Our staff errand boy is Hugo Fermi. And our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our director of Three Stooges Studies is Lee Iapoca. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Ottavindo. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Selma Junkoff. Our director of Spanish adventure travel is Gordon Pamplona. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikov and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey, known to the not-yet-discovered percussion prodigies banging pots and pans in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother either.
We'll be back next week. We hope. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1140, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, your service advisor is standing by.
Yeah, I mean, ever wonder what the guy at the shop means when he says you need, say, a brake job?
Yeah, he means you need a credit card with a $600 limit.
Well, that's for sure. But if you've always wondered what's involved with various automotive procedures, we've broken a bunch of them down for you. What is the service? Do you really need to do it? What happens if you don't do it? And is it something you can do yourself, for example?
And how many eyebrows would cost you?
You can look up all the common maintenance procedures and learn all about them right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though outhouse hole diggers suddenly feel good about their career choices whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.